Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and I'm here today with Ashley Onisik, who is a friend of mine who shares the passion to help women know their worth and know that they are lovely. So Ashley started an initiative or a project called the Lovely Initiative, and I love what she does. She goes and meets women, takes pictures of them, and then she asks them why they're lovely, and they have to respond with the thing that they believe is why they're lovely. And I was a recipient of this beautiful way of encouragement when I was pregnant with my son Bear, and it was just so incredible to be with another woman, have my picture taken by her, be fully seen by her, and then be asked the question, what makes me lovely? And I got to respond in what I believe is the truth that God's kind of put in my life. So I'm here with Ashley today. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Lexi. That was a really cool introduction. So thank you so much. It was so neat to have you on the Lovely Initiative. I'm pumped to talk about it today.
Yay. So when Ashley and I met a few years back, we instantly connected and bonded over our mutual love and just feeling of kind of this conviction that God has called us to uplift and encourage women. And so Ashley and I have gotten together many times over the past couple of years, and she is just such a deep question asker. So today she gets to be on the other side of the questions, and hopefully it's an enjoyable process, because I think that sometimes as question askers, and Ashley's also a certified life coach, so when you're on the other side, if you're a counselor or a life coach or someone that just deeply desires and cares for others, sometimes it's harder to be on the other end. So I'm so glad that you are willing to take the time to spend with us and just to talk to the women that are listening and just kind of share your heart for the Lovely Initiative and tell us more about who you are. So first off, tell us what you're passionate about.
Yeah, girl. Thank you so much. I'm really excited as well. And I love that perspective of being on the other side. It is interesting. It's going to be so fun. And you're such a good question asker as well. So this is going to be really positive. So, you know, married to Zach, we've been married for almost, it'll be 7 years this year, and we've been on some pretty epic adventures with each other the last 7 years. So we moved from Indianapolis to Portland, and Portland is where the Lovely Initiative actually started through various events, which I know we'll hop into in here in just a little bit. But we moved to Chattanooga 2 years ago and love it. There's so many good people here in Chattanooga. So I work for a life coaching company, like you mentioned, and I'm their marketing director, and it's really positive. Every day I get to go through different life coaching tools and activities, and I've been really uplifted and just brought into this new positive space, I feel like, in this last year through the company that I'm working with and through that path, and have the Lovely Initiative has kind of been on the back burner, I feel like, in the last couple of years with this move. And this is just so serendipitous to have this podcast at the beginning of this year, because a major push is to really dive back into it. And so I'm really thrilled to be able to talk about it, hopefully be able to share some love with some other women, share some love with you, and just really dive into it today.
Thanks so much. So tell us a little bit more about the Lovely Initiative, maybe the genesis, how it kind of got started, and what inspired you to encourage and uplift other women.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness, I was thinking about this. I'm like, what do I share? There's so much. But, so the Lovely Initiative is, the whole idea is like this fresh perspective on self-confidence. So what the aim of it is, an empowered community of women who practice life-giving inner dialogue. And where it really started was, I've had for my entire life, very similar to you, just this passion for women to love themselves and to know that they are worthy. And it's always been something that I've pushed for. Like, I worked for Girls Inc. when we were in Portland, and that's all about letting girls know that they're strong, smart, and bold. And I've always sought out opportunities to just be able to empower women. And a few years ago, I went through a really difficult situation where I had to have a surgery, and then I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And I remember, I can like see it. I was on the ground in my room, and I was like on my knees, and I was like ugly crying to God. And I was just like, oh my gosh, why? Like, why am I going through this? I felt so gross. And I remember feeling like I didn't feel like myself. You know, I feel like a lot of the things that I had thought about myself or what I was confident in were just like wiped. And not that I didn't have insecurities before, because, oh my goodness, yes, like insecurities were definitely there. But I don't think it was until that moment that it was brought to my attention just how lost I was in my identity and God, and also just like how I viewed myself, because all of a sudden I had this new title over my head that was going to like change my life forever. And so I remember in that moment asking why, and God was like, who? Like, you need to be asking who. And in that like discovery of asking who he is in that season, he really revealed to me just how he wanted to walk alongside me in this journey. And by welcoming that in, I mean, it was like a daily thing, right? It wasn't perfect, but just trying to let him in on that journey, he started to just share with me who he saw me as and how he viewed me, even in the midst of this struggle or this new label over my head, and how I wasn't defined by that. And so I really wrestled through just like feeling insecure, feeling like my body was just changing too. I remember even just outwardly and then internally too, personality wise, there were some changes that were happening because there's fear and things like that. And he just started to really reveal the truth that was about me. And in that, I sometimes I feel like when we're in those really vulnerable spaces, we see more outside of ourselves too. And I started to really see women just really like women being just so hard on themselves. And I was in that boat with them, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, we're so difficult on ourselves, and we have such high expectations, and we're a certain way to our friends, but we're not our own friend. Like, so how do we change that? What do we do about that? Because every woman I was coming in contact with, even if a woman was complimented, somehow she would make some kind of excuse of like, why, like, just to put off that compliment, because there was some kind of insecurity of like, oh my gosh, I'm not even deserving of a compliment. And so it's really, really cool. This project was actually inspired by something else that I saw in Portland. There was this paleo restaurant that we frequented, and they would always display different art in their restaurant. So one of the projects they had up was this woman had taken, it was called the 365 Project, and she took a picture of a woman every day, and there weren't any questions with it or anything, but she just took a picture of a woman that she came in contact with every day for, you know, an entire year. And so all of these 365 pictures were up on the wall. Wow. And yeah, it was really cool. I was so inspired by it. And I remember thinking, why can't I do something like that? I mean, I love that she did that. So what if we changed it a little bit and asked a woman a question with it? And so that's really where it started. And then I just started kind of sharing this vision with some of the women in Portland, and they were like, yeah, let's do it. And I still to this day, I don't even really know how to use my camera. But the first one we sat down with was my friend Lauren, and she's actually a photographer, so she taught me a couple of things. But we sat down and talked about what makes her lovely, like kind of talked through some of just like the struggles that happen in life and some of the insecurities that she was facing. And then I think initially awkwardly talked about the things that she loved about herself, but that turned into like this safe, warm, and really cool conversation where it was like, we both left like, oh my gosh, like this is so good. And I learned so much from her. So it's just been this continuous learning project. I feel like I just gave you so much. But that's kind of where it started, was just an inspiration from somebody else in a hard season, and just sharing that with people, and then them wanting to join. So really, it's been a collaborative initiative in all ways.
I love that. Thanks so much for sharing. And to piggyback on the self-talk issue with women, I heard a TED Talk once, and this woman was talking about how this woman was in her 40s, recently divorced, hadn't dated in several years, and she was going on a blind date. And she goes to the restaurant, she sits down, and then he doesn't show. And so she calls her best friend, and her best friend says, I mean, what do you expect? You're overweight. You have, you didn't pick the right dress to wear tonight, and you haven't dated in years. Of course he didn't show up. And in that moment, you just get furious. Like, is this really a friend? And then she says she wasn't talking to anyone on the phone. She was talking to herself. Oh. And that just brought tears to my eyes because women do this. We are so willing to serve and love and help others, but we tear ourselves apart for every little thing. Every little thing. And so I just love so much what you're doing. My Instagram right now says, I believe when women start loving other women well, our world will change. And I think that some of the things that are happening with the feminist movement in just the past couple of years are really pointing fingers at so many other issues and so many other people. And I think that it starts with ourselves. Like, what is the narrative that we're telling ourselves? What are we believing in ourselves? What are we believing in our friends? And are we surrounding ourselves with good community? And I just love that in a time where you felt maybe alone and felt scared, that God just really lifted your chin up and said, I've got something great in store. And for me, it's similar. Like, I didn't always love women. I didn't always think that women were great. In fact, like, I actually had a lot of guy friends growing up because I thought women were horrible. And I just thought, like, you know what? I hate women. I hate girls. Like, they're catty. And I'm more of a tomboy. And I just want to hang with the boys in the neighborhood. And I had a spiritual mentor just kind of call me out on my crap. And she said, Lexi, that is not of God. That is of the enemy. God created you to minister to women. And I was like, oh, girl. Like, in that moment, I had no idea that over dinner, over a casual dinner, that she was just going to drop a truth bomb on me. And so I think that so many people think that maybe you and maybe I are the genesis of our stories of why we love women so well was just because we came out of the womb loving girls and loving women and having great relationships. And for me, I don't know about your story, but for me, it was in fact the opposite. I had really tough relationships with girls, and girls can be catty. And I mean, I had my fair share of being horrible to other women as well. And so it's just so neat to see God redeeming the very thing that I thought I would never be saying, which is, I love women. I love encouraging women. I love supporting women. So I absolutely adore you. And I just love this story. And I love that 2019 is where you're going to kind of let it take flight again and make it what you know that God wants it to be and what you can see and dream about. So as you have interviewed these women and as you've spent time with them, what has their reaction been for the women that you've featured, and how have they felt loved by you?
Yeah, girl, that's awesome. And thank you so much for sharing that. I got chills when you mentioned that woman speaking to herself. And I feel like I've experienced that, you know, where I can feel the heaviness of what I'm pressing upon myself, and just how important it is for us to change that dialogue. Because I really believe that when our inner voice is negative, it's destructive to our purpose and our perspective in the world. Yeah. And that goes with, you know, having experiences with women who are catty or hard, or a lot of times there's things within us. There's, I think, you know, what we really can control is ourselves and our perspective and how we respond. But I thought about when you were saying this, and I'm so sorry, I'll get to that question because it's so good. But I was thinking about, like, when I walk into a room and if I'm feeling really insecure, I'm going to look at every woman in that room and I'm going to size her up, right? If I'm right. Like, there's something that's going on, there's some kind of turmoil within me, I'm going to put myself against these women. I'm going to find things about them that I don't like. And, you know, just to be honest, like, I've done that before. I've walked in and I've been like, wow, she is really freaking beautiful. But she seems really annoying, like doing those things. But when I have spent time in really reflecting on who God sees me as and taking time to love myself, as opposed to walking in the room and finding negative things, I'm more apt to find the positive things about the women in the room. And not that that's an easy thing, but if I go in and I find myself thinking something negative, like having this awareness of loving yourself to shift that. So like that way you love the other women well. It's so much more than just ourselves. I think you're so right. Like it starts with us, but it's not even about us really. And I think that's where the struggle women have with loving themselves is there's this complex that it's arrogant to love yourself. So you're not humble if you love yourselves. But while we're expressing things we enjoy about ourselves, it doesn't mean that we're not humble. I think humble and self-hate get mixed up. Like,
Yes,
being
absolutely.
humble means being humble doesn't mean that we have to fight against who we are. It means we love ourselves, we relish in the beauty that we have, and then we understand we are not better than anyone else. So we're all created, to rejoice in what we love. So yeah, I love that. That's so, oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm getting so fired up.
And
There's
that's
so
such a fantastic self-check of where our hearts are, is if we walk in the room and we feel inferior, so we start sizing other people up and judging them, and versus if we are willing to truly invest in them. And I love that as the listeners are listening, just think about that. And for me, like one of my things this year, if I'm being completely honest, is just to be less critical. And it's not necessarily about outer appearance or just the way that people interact, but it's more about decisions that people make. I get really, really annoyed if people don't make decisions that I thought that they should make. And that is just such an arrogant place to come from. And I constantly find myself just ranting about how stupid people are sometimes and how awful that I feel like I have the power to dictate what is and isn't a smart decision and a wise decision. So, that's just, definitely on the same lines. Like, I want to be less critical because something about that means that I'm probably really being critical on myself and maybe even my spouse. And, how can I just kind of have a different disposition of grace and mercy and love? And I think that is directly affected by how much of the word have I been in, and am I in biblical community right now, and these sorts of things. So thanks for mentioning that. It's really honest and vulnerable, and that's what this is all about. So I'll let you answer that question about kind of the interaction that you have with these women, and how do they react, and how do they feel loved by you?
Yeah, cool. And thank you. That's so powerful, Lexi. I'm glad you shared that. You know what? It's just, I kind of mentioned this with talking about the Lovely Initiative, but I've just been blown away by women that I've been able to partner with. And initially, so it's a funny thing where I have a lot of people who are like, oh my gosh, I would love to be a part of it or whatnot, but then they don't want to follow through because then they start to feel awkward about it or weird, or it's so strange to like actually talk about the things that they love about themselves. And they're so pumped for the people that they see on there, but then when it comes to like them doing it, they kind of recoil, and it's like this, oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm gonna be really weird in front of the camera, and I'm gonna, I'm not gonna have things to say. Or, what I encourage people when we do the pictures and when they send their answers is not to read other people's answers, because what makes us lovely, what makes one lovely person lovely is different than the next. And to really dive in and dig deep and find that out and not think about what other people think about you. So I can probably name off like things that my best friend or my mom or whatever love about me, but what do I really find lovely about myself? And where are some negative things that I say that I need to speak to, speak truth in? So with that process, every woman knows that they are going to be asked that, and before we hang out, and then we take time to sit down and actually talk through it. And I love it because it's similar It's very similar to that first lovely initiative photo shoot that I had with Lauren, where it feels like there's a little bit of there's kind of a tension initially of like, oh, I don't want to say these things. And it's funny because I've been asked back in those conversations, what makes me lovely? And I feel it initially too, where I'm like, oh, like, how do I share this with you? And so it's really, really cool. So we, sometimes we'll have that conversation before, sometimes we'll have it after. But every time we've left these encounters, I'm just like leaping with joy because I'm just learning from each woman. And then women are just saying how loved they felt. And that has nothing to do with me. And that's the beautiful thing is I feel like there's such a cool collaborative spirit with it where they're the ones doing that work and they're the ones making themselves feel more loved and like cared for by themselves and by God. And, or I know we have some people that aren't believers that do the Love Initiative too. So, for themselves to just take heart of like what makes them valuable and what makes them worthy is so good. So whatever that comes from, I know it talks in a big circle, right, with that, but, so I would say women that walk away from the experience, like I hope it resonates deep. What I my prayer is that it really like takes hold and spills over. And then I have women, so a lot of times the women that are featured don't get to experience the comments that I receive and the messages that I receive from their posts. So I have a lot of people who message me after a feature and they're like, whoa, that totally resonated with me, or I loved her answer. Like, I've been really battling with this or whatnot. And so that's like the coolest thing is this ripple effect. And that goes to show how it's not just about us. So
Wow.
yeah, so women, I feel like if you are listening to this, tell me you want to be a part of the Lovely Initiative. Let's do it because I would love to feature you. I usually have to ask women at a certain point, like, okay, would you do this? And they're like, oh my gosh, yes. And I'm like, they're like, I've been thinking about it. I'm like, you could ask. It's okay. It's not a shameful thing to want to be featured and to want to talk about what you love about yourself and share that with the world. It's actually really, really incredible. So,
That is really sweet. And that kind of rolls into my next question, which is, what type of women are you looking for? Or is there a type? And how do you find these women?
yeah, all the women. All the women I can feature. So the ultimate goal of the Lovely Initiative is for it not to just be me taking pictures. So what I would love is to receive women taking pictures of other women and starting this conversation where they are. So, I've had, there's one lady, she's incredible. I met her back when I was doing camp teams in college, and her name's Tara. And she's sent me multiple women that she's talked with or like wants to encourage, and we're able to feature them. And so that's really the ultimate goal. And then really, I just want anybody and everybody to be a part of this. And most of them come from me asking, but I've also had some people, there's been a few women who have contacted me via Instagram that I've met up with who wanted to be a part of the Lovely Initiative. So that's cool. So it's kind of all over and can be done anywhere. I don't have to be physically present for it to take place.
Oh, I love that. I love that this is your baby, yet you're so willing to kind of let others kind of make it what they want to make it too, which is really just a sign of grace and a sign of confidence from you that you're willing to let others kind of work through this with other women. That's amazing, Ash. I love it. So kind of with your professional hat on, with life coaching, how would you encourage women and what kind of advice would you give to women about self-care and spiritual health, if they're struggling in that area?
I feel like this could look very different for different people. And I think that even in different seasons of our life, what we need for self-love and self-care can vary. And so I would really encourage women to just take some time to be and really discover and listen to what it is that they feel like they need in that season. And maybe that is just simply like sitting and asking themselves, do I accept myself? Do I speak to myself with destructive or life-giving words? Do I believe that I'm valuable? And taking time to answer that question of like, what makes me lovely? What makes me feel lovely? Like, what are those things? And through that, creating what they need in that season. So maybe that's writing, like, this is a time where I need to write post-it notes all over my home and just remind myself of my truth, whether that's scripture or I've taken a negative thought and I've created it into a positive thought. So if I'm thinking about myself like, oh, I'm not good with people, writing on a post-it, like, I am lovable, you know, and I am who I am, and that's beautiful and that's good. And I would also say, like, another example would be, I've done this and it feels really weird, but get naked and stand in front of the mirror and like examine your body from your toes to your head or whatever, and like call out the things that you love about yourself. And it feels like so weird, but I have to do this maybe every few months sometimes, where I'm just like, maybe if I'm feeling insecure physically about something, you know, and calling out like those beautiful things that I see and thanking my body too. So even if I don't like, say, don't like my thighs or something, but I can thank them because they are giving me like the ability to do so much. So like thanking things as well. And
I love that.
It's really weird, but it's super powerful. I also would say too, so I think, you know, taking time with the Lord and spending time doing what you need, whether that's worship or journaling or whatnot, but also surrounding yourself with people who love you and know you and are going to call out good things, especially in a
Amen.
Season of doubt. Yeah. Like that's so, that's why we need people. And I want to encourage women too, like, it's okay to not be okay. And I think that's one of the things that I've really battled with. And even though I'm encouraging positive self-talk, like, feel the hard things, like, lean into that pain that you feel or that negativity that you feel so that it can be transformational. If we're just band-aiding, like putting a band-aid on an insecurity or something, like, insecurities are there to show you that something is going on within you. Like, that's what I kind of feel is like, if I'm feeling something, there's something that I need to wrestle with and like change. And sometimes it's light and sometimes it's a really heavy thing. So just encouraging people to lean in and find safe people to do that with. So, you know, I see a counselor and I love her and she's a rock star. So if you need to see like a counselor or you need a coach or whatever it is, like, to not feel shameful to need people and to share with them what is really going on so that you can move forward in whatever is happening in your life. And so that would be really some of the things that I would say that are maybe tangible, and starting just with like, what do I think about myself? And go from there and let it really just penetrate your heart and hopefully overflow into something really positive into other areas of your life as you change it.
That is terrific. I have given a talk before where I have shared with women that this exercise that they basically touch the parts of their body that they're insecure about and just claim God's truth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then I've also shared about the mirror, not standing naked. That's a whole nother element. And I love that. But standing in front of the mirror and just asking God, say, God, what do you see when you look at me? And I went through a season where I was definitely insecure about the way that I was looking. I wasn't looking the way that I knew myself as. So it was almost like I was looking at a stranger. And that was a very weird season. Mm-hmm. And I just kept asking God, show me what you see when you look at me. And that was so powerful because the way that I looked in the mirror and saw myself was, it was transformational. It was unbelievable that the physical thing that I was looking at was all of a sudden changing. And that is the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so So many women don't know how to handle their strengths. Some, like you said, they mask them in false humility, self-deprecating. Some just aren't in tune with who they are enough to know these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. So as women of, you know, this movement of just encouraging and supporting other women, you and I both have to be very in tuned with ourselves and very in tuned with our strengths and our weaknesses. So tell me a little bit about your strengths. What do you see? How do you see God using you as a vessel, and how, and if you're into the Enneagram, what is your Enneagram number? And kind of tell us a little bit about this journey. You've learned a lot about yourself over the past couple of years, and what have you encountered? What have you experienced? And kind of along the same lines of what makes you lovely, what are your strengths, and what do you see, how do you see God using you?
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, I'm going to like totally use those exercises that you just mentioned. I love that. I'm going to do that. Really cool. So some of my strengths, you know, I really do just love women. I mean, obviously, if this is what we're talking about, I feel that just really takes a major part of my heart. And I don't think I've been perfect in loving women. I think I've struggled with saying hurtful things and doing hurtful things to women, and have had to like really learn and grow with what it means to meet women where they are. And I still fall so many times with that, but my love for women is really deep, and I really want to see women succeed and do well. And I want to feel excited for women when something good happens for them. And I've had moments where I don't. So, but for the most part, one of my strengths is I feel like this deep aching and love for women and for them to love themselves. And I also, I kind of feel like sometimes I'm a chameleon. I can really connect with all different types of people. And I'm a very, you know this, Lexi, like I'm going to keep it real with you.
Yes.
So
for sure.
If I'm having a hard day and we're hanging out, like I'm not going to shy away. Not that I want that to be the center, but just to be like, look, like life is hard and life sucks sometimes. And I'm just not good. I feel like transparency is a gift and also can maybe scare some people sometimes. But for the most part, I feel like it's really connected me with a lot of people, because if, you know, I want to feel like I can be in a space where I can keep it real, and I want you to feel like you can be in a space where you can keep it real. And I think that's taken me a long time, because I feel being a two, I'm a two on the Enneagram, and twos like to be there for everybody else, but they don't like to show what they're going through, mm-hmm. and don't want, you know, and I would still say that I'm still working through this. So it's interesting, even starting the Lovely Initiative and working on myself in these various ways and trying to encourage women, I still am better at encouraging women to love themselves than I am about loving myself. Mm-hmm. So it's a daily minute thing sometimes where I have to look at myself and say, like, I am also lovable and worthy and everything. And I'm not a burden for sharing things or for needing people or anything like that. And that's really, really hard for me. And so I've had to kind of work through that, and still working through that, of like encompassing myself into this whole dialogue of letting God's love like totally take hold, as well as sharing that with others, like for it to first start with me and then overflow. And so
it's beautiful. I love those things about you. I agree with the chameleon thing. I think that you could be put in any room, any place, anywhere, and you would make a friend. And, mm-hmm. And you are definitely on like the Enneagram. I would definitely guess that you're a two, because the twos are the helpers. They're the service oriented people. They're the ones that love, support, uplift, encourage. And, I'm an eight on the Enneagram, which is the challenger. So sometimes when people are shying away from what they're walking through, I'm the one that's like pulling it out of them. And I think that some of my favorite people on this planet are twos and threes and three twos. So, I love you. And, that doesn't mean all the other numbers. I don't love you, but I've just noticed a pattern in my life that I've really been attracted to twos and threes. Threes are the achiever and twos are the helper. And, for whatever reason, those numbers go really well with my personality. Because sometimes I can just be really out there, really blunt, really bold, and I just say exactly how I feel. So
it's, I love it. I love eights too.
Yeah, they're a special breed. I'll say that. I love being an eight, but also it gets me into trouble sometimes because I have a loud mouth and I'm very vocal. And so us eights need the twos to kind of balance us out and bring us back down to earth, and humble us a little bit, because humility is definitely not something that comes naturally to eights. But moving on to, and thank you so much for sharing all of those things, because I think it's so great as women for us to be aware of our strengths and not look at it as a place of being conceited or a place of being full of ourselves, but just a place of knowing who God made us. And if we truly know who God made us to be, then we can love others so much better. And so that's truly, if for nothing else, ladies that are listening, know your strengths so you can love others well. Because I know you're selfless and you want to care for others and you want to love others really well. So if for nothing else, if it's not for you, do it for the people that you love, because being self-aware and knowing who you are, whose you are, and your strengths really will help you love others really well. And so we're getting towards the end, but what has the Lovely Initiative taught you?
So the Lovely Initiative, oh my goodness, girl, it has taught me so much. It's funny as we're having this conversation where I'm even noticing when we're talking about strengths or things like that, both you and I have said, well, but we're also not so good at this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we're still, like, it's so funny how much it really is like this daily thing to press into and to encourage ourselves. And I can't agree more with what you just said to everybody. Just start somewhere to love yourselves, and you're going to still have things come up. Obviously, like even in the couple of years of having the Lovely Initiative and like even Lexi, how lovely you are and all the things that are so good, it can be a challenge, and it can be easy to say something positive and great and then go to something that you feel like you still need to work on or whatever. But like, I want to encourage women after this conversation, like if there's something, just encourage yourself and then let it be. Or if somebody compliments you, let it be. Say thank you. Like no more. And so I think
love that.
Yeah, those are some of the things I'm learning. And I'm like relearning even through our conversation right now, where I'm like, whoa, I'm still kind of doing that, where I'm like, yeah, there's this that I love about myself, but I still like have this and this and this. And it's like, it's okay to just let the thing be that you love, and for it to take hold and for there to be nothing else that surrounds it. Even, you know, and speak, what I think I've learned too is like speak out loud the things that you love. So find somebody that's close to you that you can share that with, who is going to celebrate that with you. And speaking things out and making them publicly known is so transformational too than just keeping it within. And maybe that's even journaling some things too. So the Lovely Initiative has really just taught me to love myself and to just kind of go with the flow of what you think something is supposed to be and what allowing it to transform and blossom into whatever it actually needs to be. And I think I had a certain idea for the Lovely Initiative, and it's kind of taken its course even a little bit differently than I thought it would. And that's okay. And that's so good. And so meeting it where it's at and meeting me where I'm at and meeting women where I'm at. So there's so much to all of it. And that women are rock stars. Ladies, you're so valuable. You've got so much to offer. You have so many good things. And if anything, the Lovely Initiative has just kind of like affirmed again, just how incredible our species is.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is all the warm and fuzzies episode. So hopefully if you're listening, you like that kind of stuff. So you mentioned before about kind of having community and having people that can speak into your life and that you can do life with. And so who have some of the mentors in your life been, and those people that you've looked up to and those people that have poured into you?
Yeah. So the first person that comes to mind is my lovely mentor, Leslie. She was my mentor in high school, and she actually, we reconnected last year, and she's someone that I've stayed connected to, and she's just such a brilliant, loving woman and has always just spoken so much truth into my life. My best friend, Jerry, she's been my best friend for like 16 years now, and she's one of the most real, honest, and another brilliant woman. These women just totally rock my world. But those would be two women that initially just stand out as people that have changed me and helped me see who I really am. So again, just encouraging women to find those women who will call out who you are and really let you see the best version of yourself.
I love it. And last question is, what inspires you?
What inspires me? My goodness. So many things. A couple of main things that stick out. I mean, I think just the all-encompassing love and unconditional love of God is one of the first things I think that inspires me, is just this idea that no matter where we are or what we believe about ourselves or what, God always sees us as his beautiful creation and wants good things and wants to walk alongside us. And that is inspiring. There's been moments where I've felt completely distant from that, but knowing that is true has led me out of different seasons in my life. And also just seeing women doing their thing. So like women that are fulfilled, like you doing this podcast, or just women doing what really is within them, like being brave and courageous to step into those things. That's so inspiring. I just look at women that are just doing it, whether their insecurities or not, or they have this idea and they just run with it. I think that's so beautiful and has definitely encouraged me in a lot of ways.
I couldn't agree more. That's what fires me up. If I see someone that is totally owning who they are and they are walking in their purpose and in their passions, I'm like, oh girl, get it. and sometimes I end the podcast that way, and you'll hear in a second. But I lied. There's an encore. The last question is, what are you looking forward to in 2019? Since we're at the beginning of the year, it always stirs up emotions of kind of closing out a previous year and walking into a new beginning. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So my word for this year is bloom. And with that comes like healing and rediscovery, as well as dreaming. And I'm really looking forward to, I feel like I finally have space, like I mentioned, even for the Lovely Initiative to kind of dive back in. So I'm really looking forward to meeting new women. I meeting with actually two women that I met over Instagram in Chattanooga next week to feature them on the Lovely Initiative. So things like that. Yeah, I'm really pumped to just get to know more women in the world, see what they're doing, what they're up to, hear about what they love about themselves, and let that resonate even within my own life and let myself dream a little bit bigger than what I have been for what is to come. And just putting that out there, I think putting that out there is a first step. And so I'm really pumped to be able to dream with other women, dream for my own life, and just see where that leads, and being okay with where it does lead. And that's really exciting.
I love the word bloom. That is such a beautiful artistic picture of going forth with beauty. And so I could not pick a better word for you. I'm so thankful. I'm just so grateful for your time here, and I can't wait to see what 2019 has in store. And I'll also link all of your information below. So if someone wants to be a part of the Lovely Initiative, they can reach out to you via Instagram. Also, if someone is not in the Chattanooga area and feels kind of connected to this mission, then as Ashley was talking about before, maybe you can pick up a camera and start taking pictures of women in your life and connect with Ashley about what that process looks like. So, y'all, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His glory. So go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.